Will the young people come and join me this morning? You guys look wonderful today. It is a very special Sunday today. Can anybody tell me what special Sunday is today? It is Palm Sunday. Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? What do we remember in the day? Oh, well, now there's an interesting thing about resurrection. Oh, we'll talk. But today we get our palms because we're remembering the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, on the donkey colt. And when everybody was so happy that he was coming to Jerusalem. Well, I want to talk to you something about a different thing that they do in some churches on Palm Sunday. Apparently, many, many years ago in Eastern Europe, they didn't have access to too many palms. They didn't have so many palms back then. And you know, it was pretty cold when Easter turned came around. And so they would go to church, the people would, and there would be palms at church. But at home, you know what they had at home? They had pussy willows at home. And even in the cool weather, the pussy willows would grow. And so the people at home, they would take pussy willows and they would tie them in a little bunch like this. And they would take them with them to church. And along with the palms, actually at the time it were the priests would bless the pussy willows. And they would have a big procession around church. And they would hit each other on the back with the pussy willows to pretend. That would be pretending about when Jesus was flogged. Now, I'm sure the children were very good and nobody ever really whacked each other with the pussy willows. I'm sure they were very, very gentle, even brothers and sisters. But what happened is it became a tradition to not only get palms on Palm Sunday in some of those churches, but now, even today, they give out pussy willows. And I happen to know that in Minersville, when I was in Minersville, in the churches that what they call are Byzantine churches, on Palm Sunday, they give out pussy willows because they're remembering what it was like in Poland and other countries in Eastern Europe. And so that's what I want to tell you about these pussy willows. We talked about this in Owls some more last week, but I wanted to share that with you about the pussy willows. I don't have pussy willows. They're over now because they all sprouted. But that's what they did in Eastern Europe with the pussy willows. Today is all about remembering. Yes?
My granny has pussy willows.
Does she? I should have talked to your granny before worship today.
Yeah, I should have, but I didn't do that. I'll remember that next year.
But today is all about remembering things. We remember that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. We remember the old traditions of a Byzantine church. They worship different than we do, but they worship Jesus. They worship with pussy willows on Palm Sunday, but you know what it's good for us to remember? You know what's good for us to remember? Is that Jesus loves us. And that he came all those years ago so that we would never have to die. So that we could live forever with God in heaven. And that's a good thing for us to remember because sometimes we forget. We get all caught up in things like bunnies and Easter eggs, and those things are very, very fun. But what we need to remember today is what we'll talk about next week, and that is the Easter lamb, which is Jesus. And Jesus came, and he came so that we would have life. Isn't that cool? And that we never have to worry about dying. So let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus. And for those of us who ask him to come into our hearts, we never have to worry about dying, and we thank you for that. And we pray that we would never forget that you love us no matter what. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Okay, do you have junior church today, Miss Holly? Miss Holly has junior church. Get your goodie and be off. You know, this is finally Palm Sunday, and we have taken an entire Lenten season to consider the life and the ministry of Jesus. And as we've looked at this life of Jesus on the pages of the Gospels this Lent season, we can't help but notice, or I don't know whether you really considered it ever, that about a third of the information that we are given in Scripture deals with the last week of Jesus' life. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that must mean that one of the most important ways that we can figure out who Jesus is and who he was has been shown to us in the last week of his life. Now, we take time to consider this last week. It's really full of its ups and downs. And we all know the words, you know, the words that we've come down through the years to really appreciate. Hosanna, you know, then confrontation, betrayal, denial. You know, it reads like a book, you know, like a novel. Trial, scourging, crucifixion, tomb. And then the greatest news that we as human beings have ever heard, and that is, he is not here, he is risen. Now, at best, we get all excited on Palm Sunday. It's kind of temporary. And at worst, Palm Sunday becomes just a lesson on how fickle and unfaithful we human beings can be. You know, because the week starts out with shouts of praise, and it ends, you know, in this pit of denial and betrayal with a two-faced friendship of Judas and the unfaithfulness of Peter. And the week ends with the weakness of all the disciples who run away, and Pilate washing his hands, the agony of death between two thieves, one who cursed him and the other who asked for forgiveness, the sadness of a borrowed tomb, and then on to the glory of the resurrection. It all begins, though, today on Palm Sunday, and it's a day that we're all about hosannas, all about the applause. Today when we remember when Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time. Now most Bible scholars are convinced that he really planned his entry into Jerusalem real carefully. Because think about it, up until that time, Jesus had really avoided publicity. But on this particular entrance to Jerusalem, he was the parade marshal. He was out there. It was Passover time. The city was jammed with pilgrims from all over the world. He entered Jerusalem in a way that was going to draw the entire city's attention to his arrival. He was not quietly entering the city. Now, he was riding. Now, that was a very big deal. Donkeys are considered a real luxury. King and rich men rode donkeys. Now, they rode horses sometimes, too, but they only rode horses if they were going to war. When a king or a general came in peace, they were always riding a donkey. Now, Jesus wasn't a military conqueror that everyone wanted, and he came in peace, and he came on a donkey. So when the people saw him arriving on a donkey, they would have kind of had a clue about what was coming and what was going on. The simple statement to the donkey owner, the Lord needs it. The Lord has need of it. The Lord needs him. Enough said. The disciples were so caught up in the excitement that the Pharisees actually rebuked Jesus. You know, you should really get a handle on the claims your disciples are making. You know, in the church, we have really become comfortable with this very strange way that we celebrate Palm Sunday. We begin with joy, the triumphal entry. We begin with Hosanna. But then we end with Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, and even our own sadness as we look forward to Good Friday. So I was just wondering, now what can we say about this first day of Holy Week that's really going to be helpful to us? You know, what can we say that's going to be helpful for the living of our days? Well, for one, I wanted us to remember that you know, Jesus was greeted with great joy when he entered Jerusalem. He had been drawing huge crowds for some time, and his words spoke to the heart. He always spoke the truth. He had a commanding presence. The things that he did were amazing. Blind eyes could see. Crippled legs could walk. Those who thought they were worthless found out that God loved them all the more. The word in the hearts of the people who followed him was the word that everybody needed, and that was hope. You know, make no mistake about it. He was greeted with great joy when he entered the city, and that's exactly as he should have been. The triumphal entry of Palm Sunday marked, though, the end of the public approval of Jesus. And as the week unfolds, we know the story. It's all downhill. All downhill to Good Friday. The temple leaders, Roman government, betrayal by one of his closest disciples, that all leads to death. And while he sweat blood in Gethsemane, his disciples were snoring. And he asked them earlier, when he noticed that everyone was slipping away, will you also go? And they assured him, through their spokesperson, Peter, even if everyone will abandon you, we will not go away, they said. But there was danger in the air. They made promises that they were going to watch with him for an hour. They didn't. And these were his inner circle. These were the closest ones, Peter, James, and John. And while he sweated blood, they took gnats. They made all kinds of promises to Jesus, and then they were gone. You know, I've always been a little amazed at this. When Jesus was on his way to Calvary, did you ever think about this? When he was carrying the burden of his cross, when his back was shredded from the beatings, and when he had this crown of thorn on his head, and he stumbled, when he needed someone to carry the weight of his cross, don't you wonder how come one of his disciples didn't leap from the crowd and take up that cross for him? Did you ever wonder where were they? Why didn't they leap out and volunteer to carry that cross for him? But no, you know, a stranger had to be volunteered by the Roman guards, poor Simon of Cyrene. You know, where were all those enthusiastic disciples who were yelling, you know, God has given us a king, you know, long live the king. You know, Hosanna, let all heaven rejoice. Where were those guys? They were yelling so loud, the Pharisees were complaining. They were nowhere to be found. You know, something we don't consider a lot is the voice of the people is a fickle voice. The voice of the people, that is a very fickle voice. Applause always ends. Do you remember the very first President Bush? 1989 to 1993, he served as president. And when we went to war in Desert Storm, I think it was like 91 or something. Forgive me if you're a veteran and I have my numbers wrong. But it was a war about a genocide in Kuwait and also disrupted oil supplies, lots of stuff going on, bad people happening. Well, you know that the first President Bush, his approval numbers were almost the highest of any sitting president ever in the history of our country. When we went to Desert Storm. And do you remember what happened in the next election? He got beat by that pillar of restraint, Bill Clinton. You know, when people in positions of authority, they should never be swayed by popular opinion because they are in positions of authority to do the right thing. Because the voice of the people is a fickle voice. When people are in positions of authority, they can only do the right thing because they are never going to be liked by everyone, ever. And sometimes they won't even be liked by many at all. The voice of the people is a fickle voice. It changes with the wind. And I think that's something that perhaps maybe our government doesn't understand at this point. But you know, today's hero is tomorrow's goat. So the only thing you can really do is the right thing. Crowds have a very short memory. And crowds are usually asking the question, are you doing what I want? Okay, that's the one question a crowd will ask. And another question a crowd will ask is, what have you done for me today? That's another question that a crowd will ask. You know, history says that Napoleon was traveling through Switzerland. And when he was going through Switzerland, apparently the masses applauded him, and he was welcomed into that area. And one of his supporters said, this is a quote, "It must be wonderful to be greeted with such enthusiastic admiration." And Napoleon said, "No, this same unthinking crowd, under the slightest change of circumstances, would follow me just as eagerly to the gallows." That's what happened to Jesus. The same folks who cheered him on Sunday cried, "Crucify him! Give us Barabbas!" before the week was over. They greeted him with joy, and then all the applause ended. Now, Jesus' arrival also came with tears. You know, Scripture tells us that Jesus wept because he knew the condition of the people. He knew of their need for God. He had come to change their hearts, not their government. You know, there are two instances in Scripture where Jesus wept. The first is when he heard the death of his friend Lazarus. He wept, but then he gave Lazarus his life back. And the second was him weeping over Jerusalem because he knew how lost the people were. You know, he explained his purpose over and over. He wasn't secretive about it, but they just never got the message. And even his close circle of friends, the disciples, it seemed like sometimes they were just totally clueless. They each had their own agenda, you know, their own ambition. One would deny him, another would betray him, and all of them would flee the city when the chips were down, except for one. Well, I'm thinking that would be enough to make anybody cry. You know, his disciples knew, you know, there's danger here. You should not go. They said that to him. But he insisted because he knew it was the only way. And he persisted in going to Jerusalem with a really radical message. And that radical message was, whoever receives me, whoever reaches out to me, I will save you. And that's the message he still has today. And he wept because he knew that they were going to refuse him. And he knew that he was going to be rejected. And people are still rejecting him today. And I'm thinking he is still weeping because of that today. But for me, the question that really challenges us on this holiest of all weeks is this. Do we have anything in our lives today that we are willing to share with Jesus? Is there anything in your life that you are willing to share with Jesus? I want us to just think for a minute about the owner of the donkey. You know, the disciples said to the owner of the donkey colt, the Lord has need of it. And the owner simply let it go. You know, he didn't interrogate the disciples about where, what, and when, and how long. He just offered up the donkey. He didn't tell them that they had to sign this piece of paper so that the gift could be documented. He just let it go. So this morning, I would be so bold as to ask you to take an inventory of the gifts that you have been given. What do you have that you can give to the one who has given you everything, including your life? All of us should be asking this question. You know, we shouldn't be wondering, well, does the Lord have need of my gift? The only reason you have the gift is for his glory. The question we should be asking is, where can I give my gifts to his glory? And when we give to the Lord, he is so pleased. But you know what the cool thing about it is? We are pleased too. There are perks associated with that. The Lord has need of you. Have you answered that question lately? Now, you know how you begin. You begin by saying, I give him my heart. That's why he came. You know, a fellow that was a World War I chaplain, he wrote a poem. And he titled this poem, Indifference. Now, it was a very personal poem to his particular circumstance, so I changed the words so that it would speak to us this morning. Okay? When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through hand and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. Red were his wounds and deep. For those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to McKeensburg, we simply passed him by. We never hurt a hair of him. We only let him die. For men and women have grown more tender, and we would not give him pain. We only just pass down the street and leave him in the rain. Still Jesus cries, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And still it rains a winter rain and drenches him through and through. The crowds went home in McKeensburg and left the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against Christ Church's wall and cried out, "Give me Calvary." When we look at all the gifts that God has given us, the gifts, you know, the ones that we think are kind of inconsequential, that we shrug our shoulders at, and that we are very indifferent about, we need to remember that our indifference has consequences. The Lord has need of your heart. Amen. Father God, you know us, and sometimes we think we're just not much and we don't have anything to offer. But you have told us different. And all those things that you have blessed us with in our lives, Father God, we know that they are from your hand. And we pray that you would speak to us and that we would offer them back to you for your glory. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the benediction.
Don't forget that this coming week, it's Maundy Thursday worship, Good Friday at 1:30 in New Ringgold, and the men's drama at Zion Church Friday evening. And don't forget, sunrise service is at the Tabernacle in the Valley at 5:45. And you can drive all the way now. Our benediction is taken a little later from the Gospel of John, and these are Jesus' words to us. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Amen.